following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone, back at Lambeau Field. Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein. Tom, I missed you this weekend.
Yeah, you were gone. I had to go solo. Not an easy endeavor.
No. I think you get used to me, dragging you along on these things now.
Yeah, I get used to having you, carrying you on my back, and so it felt kind of alone.
Speaking of back, I mean, the Packers at Lambeau Field, it's been, if you include the bye week, it's been about a month since this team played a game at home, and now they will play two in a row before ending the year with two on the road. Coming off a 31-13 victory in New York over the Giants, was a little closer than that, 17-13 into the fourth, but they got it done, and now they face sort of a similar team in Washington, Tom. I mean, 3-9, they've won two straight, they've got a first-round rookie quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. It's a team that beat the Packers in Washington a year ago. Mm-hmm. Obviously, much has changed. Interim coach Bill Callahan, I think, is trying to instill a running game to prop up this rookie quarterback. So we'll kind of start there as we get into this game week. I don't know. Is there much beyond that, I guess?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about Washington, so Callahan takes over, and he benches Josh Norman, and he makes some changes. He changes the quarterback, and all of a sudden, they're playing a bunch of young guys, and they're playing pretty well. They're playing with some enthusiasm, and all of a sudden, they blast through Carolina for over 200 yards rushing. They're playing okay defense. I mean, they're not going, I don't think they're trending downward. I don't think they're a great football team. They're not a good football team. But all of a sudden, they're playing hard for Callahan, and they're also seem to have responded to some of the changes he made.
Yeah, it's interesting. First of all, they got Ron Rivera fired. With that win in Carolina. Yep. And, I don't know if Bill Callahan is in the mix for this job.
I doubt it.
But I will say it does say something about him, right, and the rest of that holdover coaching staff from Jay Gruden's group that they have responded in this way and that they do play hard. And let's face it, Tom, I mean, this Packers team is not they don't blow anybody out. They might have some double-digit victories, but it's never it's always closer than that, I guess.
Absolutely. There's not been what I would constitute as a true blowout. I don't think there has been one. Denver was probably as close. I can't even remember. It's been so long, I don't even remember what the score was in that game.
Yeah, that was week three, and to your point, I mean – it's like the Raiders game. I mean, the Raiders would probably be the closest, in terms of score.
Yeah, you think about that game at halftime. That turned at halftime
The David Carr fumble. Derek Carr fumble.
Yeah, so, Denver was 27-16. So, no, there's not been any blowouts. The closest, even this Washington game, I wouldn't constitute as a blowout.
Yeah, I was thinking about this a little bit. Here we are. This is our first podcast in December. And, you have said through November, even if win or lose in San Francisco, it's about playing good football this final month of the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, Matt LaFleur bristled a little bit at the idea that this team doesn't have an identity. You wrote about that coming off the win in New York. He was asked about it during the week and was kind of said, hey, it's about winning the next game. You guys can talk about identities and whatnot. But, where I'm going with this is shouldn't this be the week where something is defined, where they do start to play good football? And to me, that means win 31-10, mm-hmm. but have it be from the jump, mm-hmm. not a 4th-and-10 conversion in the fourth quarter and then a pick, right? Like, mm-hmm. like impose your will.
Well, they got to get back to running the ball. They got to be more of a balanced offense. They got to stop. They don't have to stop, but they have to figure out how to score in ways other than Aaron Rodgers scrambling around and, you know, waiting for receivers to make their second move. I think that's what they're going to have. They're going to have to win some with scheme against the Vikings. They're going to have to win some on-schedule plays because those guys get after the quarterback, and the quarterback's not going to have enough time to do all that off-schedule stuff. We saw what happened with San Francisco. If you're doing, if you're relying on all off-schedule stuff, forget it. You know, you can't do that against teams that can rush the passer. Maybe they'll be able to do that against Washington, and maybe they'll be able to do that against Chicago, although, you know, even Chicago could be a problem. That's why I just think they need to have some kind of they need to look like they were those first couple drives against Minnesota, you know, when they were against the Chiefs, when they were found new ways to move the ball with Aaron Jones. They got to kind of get back to playing that spread the ball around football. And I just thought that the Giants game, while they played well enough to win, I don't think they made any great advancements as an offense.
Yeah, and that, I think to me, it's fair now to hold this team to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. Your expectations change for the season. You and I, when we were sitting here at the end of camp, I said this was an 8-8 team. And I mean, honestly, they haven't done much to dispel that notion, even if they finished 13-3. I mean, but they are 9-3. Whatever the permutations may be, they could be as high as a 2 seed. Maybe some weird things break their way. They finish 13-3, and they're a 1 seed. So you're talking about a team that is now an NFC title contender on paper by what they're winning. So to me, Tom, it's like to look like it now, right?
Now's the time to start looking like
it. And I don't think they have, and I think we should have seen a little bit of it in New York. I think you have to see it this week. Mm-hmm. And to your point, I think that is offensively being smoother, being more consistent. And I don't know, is this, and I guess I'll put that a little bit on the head coach in that, you know, he said against New York, they tried to run out of 11 personnel into a base front. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't do that. Can't, you know, we're not going to block that up the right way. So, okay, he admits that fault. Do they fix it? You know, Aaron Jones had been non-existent in the pass game since Kansas City. They targeted him more against New York to no yardage. So maybe there was an adjustment. So I think, you know, players have to play. I'm one of those guys who believe that. But I do think that the head coach, this is now what are they made of to a degree? Can they get them going, playing really well in December?
Yeah, and I can think back to some McCarthy teams that it took them until the second to last week before they started to pick it up a little bit. But typically December was when they did their best, played their best football. And all of this is not to say that they're not playing good football. It's just they're going to be in a position to maybe have a home playoff game, maybe have a bye. And they're going to ultimately either bow out in the first round to a team they shouldn't lose to, or they're going to have to beat one of the really good teams, San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans. I mean, those are three really, really good teams, and Minnesota's probably on the cusp. If they ever get Adam Thielen back, I think they're right in there. If you want to be part of that group, you've got to play better because we saw what happened when they played San Francisco. San Francisco is an elite team. They went out to Baltimore and they almost beat Baltimore. So now it's there. That's your standard, and that's what they have to keep improving to. They don't have to play like San Francisco this week or the next week, but they have to start moving in that direction.
For sure. And what for you is, now you mentioned Aaron Jones, and you know, this run game, look, I think the offensive linemen, I think the head coach will tell you when they're honest that they want this identity, and Matt LaFleur can, as an aside, can say, oh, it's about, you guys can talk about that, whatever. Every team wants an identity. They want that thing. What do you do well? What's the play that's going to work in crunch time? Dial it up, call it up. A, I don't know if they have it. Mm-hmm. B, I think if they did, they'd want it to be putting in Aaron Jones's gut and moving up the field. You know, Washington has some talent up front. You know, the Bears, we know the Vikings. Can they find that? Is it too late? Or are they kind of what they are offensively, which is just a mishmash of, you know?
No, they just need to get – they need to run LaFleur's offense. We've seen snippets of when they run LaFleur's offense. It can be pretty nice. It can be pretty smooth-looking. They can exploit some things. They can get people open when, you know, you hate to – well, you don't hate to say it. When Devontae Adams wasn't here, they looked more like the LaFleur offense. Now, that isn't a knock on Adams. It's somehow they've gotten away from that. And I think even Adams has made reference to got to spread it around within the offense. I'm just looking at Aaron Jones's carries. And since Dallas, when he had 19 carries, got 11, 12, 13, 8, 13, 13, 11. And, you know, that's not the number of times. They're splitting it a lot with Jamal Williams, who has 14, 3, 7, 2, then 13, 11, 10. They're giving Jamal Williams the ball a little bit more, which is okay. But Aaron Jones has to be the centerpiece of this offense, and they've got to start scheming to get him free. The Giants wanted to take him away. San Francisco wanted to take him away. Everybody wants to take Saquon Barkley out of the game. Everybody, you know, wants to take Ezekiel Elliott out of the game. You got to find ways to get them in the game. And whether that's playing off Devontae Adams or something else, you got to get him going. And that's Matt LaFleur's job.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Adams is going to win more often than not. And maybe that's just more on, you know, the quarterback having to, you know, find the other guy who's also open or who has also won in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's hard. That's hard to reprogram, you know, after so many years, right, of you know, because it's possible that two to three other guys may be open.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the good of the offense, it's better to throw to Alan Lazard or Aaron Jones or Geronimo Allison in that moment. You know, because as Matt, and the reason I say that, you know, fan might be, oh, you know, those guys aren't dropping the ball or whatever. But Matt LaFleur always talks about stacking plays on one another and how the sixth play in the drive could be built off the first and the third. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, throwing to Geronimo Allison or Aaron Jones or Jimmy Graham or Jay Sternberger, even when Devontae Adams won, is more important to that sixth play, which is more important to the 21st play. It sounds weird to say that, but that's how this offense is constructed. And I'm not knocking Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when he can play well, this team is going to win. But to your point, Tom, I think that's what we haven't seen yet, and I'm curious if they can find that in this last quarter of the season. Because to me, you're right. I think they have to if they're going to go on the road and win against one of those other teams. Mm-hmm. That's how it's got to be.
Yeah, there's some things that kind of struck me as I look at their stats. So since the Oakland game, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has two catches for 11 yards.
Wow.
Geronimo Allison has 11 catches for 63 yards.
Ugh.
That's not, I don't know how you win games that way. Now they lost what, two of the, what was that, five games?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. So they've lost two of those five games, and that's a big part of the problem. So either those guys, I know Alan Lazard has picked up some of that action. He's been pretty productive during that time. He's got 11, 12, 15 catches, and he's well over 200 yards. I think every week probably someone different should be having a big game, and that's kind of what happened against the Giants. And then this week you want Lazard to get a little bit of attention, and maybe Adams gets free a little bit more, or maybe Aaron Jones gets a little more free more. I don't know exactly. I'm not smart enough to know what Matt LaFleur needs to do to get his offense going, but he's got to figure out a way to spread the ball, get play action, and get the ball to the open guys, not get the ball to the guy you want to get it to, or get it to the guy that is most likely to catch the ball. You got to get it to the open guy. And the only time they seem to do that is when Rodgers is running around and someone happens to get open.
Yeah, Rodgers played well in New York. He's had those games. We've talked about this on this podcast throughout the year. He's not that guy for 16 games anymore, right?
Like, no.
Or at least he hasn't been this year.
He made plays with his arm. That was what happened. And there was a really good quote from defensive back Michael Thomas from the Giants. And he said that Rodgers has elite arm talent. He said he is the best arm, has the best arm talent of anybody in the quarterback. I'm not talking about playing quarterback. I'm talking about arm talent. And that was really true. He showed in that game, hitting Allison with a guy wrapped around his legs, hitting Lewis while a guy had his hand on his shoulder. All those things are great. But those are plays you want to happen when they absolutely need to happen, not relying on them. And they need to see him making more plays in the pocket.
Do you think Rodgers acknowledged that in his own unique way, by sort of mentioning how the poorer weather evens things out a little bit speed-wise, sort of recognizing he's a little slower and maybe slicker tracks kind of slow some things up in that way.
That's not an excuse, though, for the offense not functioning. I mean, not for them not being able to get anybody open off the scheme. I think, really, when the weather's bad, the receivers have a pretty good advantage against the DBs, and they should be able to get open. I don't know. I don't know whether that is just a little bit of desperation the way they played, or I guess that's why I want to see these next two games. I want to see whether they do look more controlled, or if they look more like they're just going to live on the off-schedule play.
Yeah, because I think in the long run, the better teams you play, the off-schedule doesn't work as much.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just the nature of the game. And I think, beginning Sunday in Washington against a team that's not very good, it'd be good to see that offensively, I think.
Yeah, they need to. They need to show it. They need it for themselves, too. I mean, it's good to roll up 31 points and four touchdowns. And if they can do it again this week and do it the week after that, that's good too. But at some point, they got to be able to go into their meeting room the week of the Vikings game and go, okay, we got this that can beat that. We got this that can beat that. We got that that can beat that. They can't go in there going, well, man, if Rodgers can just buy enough time to run around and make a play on Minnesota secondary, and we got a chance to win. it's got to be, they got to be coming in there going, yeah, we know this stuff works. And I don't know if right now what you would say is their classic plays, two or three classic plays that they're going to win with.
Yeah. And I think the reason we spent, you know, the bulk of the first half of this podcast time on offense is because on the other side of the ball, we've been kind of saying it. They are what they are defensively right now, right? I don't see any magic fix. You know, we wondered about it coming out of San Francisco, and the 49ers punched him in the mouth. You thought, okay, get healthy against the Giants, and let's be real. Hey, 13 points is 13 points, right? That's a good number.
Yeah.
And
one of three in the red zone.
Right.
That's good numbers.
But that's
three turnovers. That's good numbers.
Again, though, that's what they are, right? I mean, Daniel Jones made some throws. You know, they ran some beaters in coverage, and, you know, the Giants kept it close.
I really think that if they can cut down on the big plays, on the 30-plus yard plays, then they're a lot better defense.
Can they, though? I mean, this is 12.
I don't know. You know, some of them, what's most bothersome is that some of the mistakes happen in the same coverages. You know, it's like they can't play a quarter's coverage. They don't get it or something. You know, they pick on Savage has given up some plays. Amos has given up some plays. They're often one mistake, you know, kills you. And it's not that they're not playing well on the other, and I'm not picking on Savage just because he's given up a few plays. There's other plays, he plays great. But you can't give up third and 12 a 43-yard, you know, completion. You just can't do that. And that's what gets you beat in the playoffs. So somehow Petten has to figure out how to minimize that. And whether that's playing less guys, playing more man-to-man, I don't know what it is, but that's his job. He's got to figure it out. And if they can eliminate those big plays, then I think they're good enough to win. Then I think they're a winning defense because they do play so good in the red zone, and they do have a good pass rush. So somehow figure out how to get that done. And I don't know. You're right. After 12 games, they haven't figured it out, but they've got to.
And this week against Washington, I look, the McLaurin kid has proven to be dynamic. I don't think Dwayne Haskins is where Daniel Jones is.
Yeah.
He's barely completing one out of every two of his throws. He's been sacked 22 times in, what, like 4.5 games?
Yeah.
So I'm not dismissing they are NFL players there. I think they're going to get Haskins once or twice on interceptions. I think really the big plays, if there are some for Washington, are going to come from Darius Geis and the old, you know, father time Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, Bill Callahan's going to run it up their gut and say, can you stop this? And I guess we thought Dallas would do it. We thought some of these other teams would test them. I think we thought Saquon Barkley might. That's really what this group Sunday, Tom, has in terms of stopping anything is that, right? To see if they really shored that up.
Well, I think Callahan will come in and he'll have two game plans. He'll have one where they go, all right, if Petten decides to go to his base offense, they will just go to tons of play action and they'll test the secondary. They don't have a tremendous group of wide receivers, but they have a quarterback who can, you know, run some play action, run off the play action, do some bootleg, things like that. If the Packers somehow decide they're going to try to defend this with Ibrahim Campbell as their middle linebacker with Blake Matunas, then I think he just pounds it on him, just runs it 50 times and says, you know, try to stop us. So it'll be a matter of which team can adjust to what the other is doing. And the Packers need to put pressure on Dwayne Haskins. That's it. They shouldn't give up more than 200 yards passing to him.
No, I don't think so either. And that's I mean, heck, Tom, I think if they go base defense, I would make Dwayne Haskins try to beat you for sure. Because I don't know if he's done enough, shown enough to do that.
No, he's Daniel Jones. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. They're facing the same kind of guy. They should be able to cause him all kinds of problems. The one thing that he's got going that Daniel Jones didn't really have was a running game. Daniel Jones has the threat of Saquon Barkley, but he's clearly not the guy that he was before he injured his ankle. You know, he's not as explosive as he was. So I think there's going to be all kinds of – they're going to run the ball, and then they're going to figure out how much they can get done on play action.
So is this – you know, you mentioned eliminating the big plays defensively here, and I think – it would be disappointing if Washington, in whatever fashion, is mm-hmm. able to break off big plays, whether it be Geis and Peterson breaking away for runs mm-hmm. or, you know, a catch and run, you know, in that passing game. But to keep that theme of learning to win or playing good December football, I mean, is this the starting point for the defense? I mean, Mitchell Trubisky is still Mitch Trubisky in 2 weeks. And Kirk Cousins in the dome, while he is playing well, I think, you know, is leading the league in rating at you know, heading into that Monday night game. But he's still Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
You know what I mean? So, like, I we've seen that 0-8 primetime guy and the guy who throws interceptions when it matters most or makes bad decisions. So, I mean, is this the time now for the defense? Can Mike Pettine tighten the screws, or is this still kind of, well, you know, just be good in the red zone, get a couple turnovers?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can. I think they can tighten things up. I think they have the talent. I think there's a lot of people who would love to have King and Alexander as their corners and have the talent of Amos and Savage. And would figure out, you know, and have a nickel like Tremont Williams. There's teams in the NFL that would kill to have that kind of talent. Some of it, it's young. Some of it's still learning their scheme. But there's enough talent there for them to be a good defense. He's got to figure out what it is that causes them to have these lapses where they can't seem to cover or they give up a ton of rushing yards. I don't think they're far from being a good defense, but he's really, they got to figure out what it is that causes these big plays. I don't know. Maybe they need to be more aggressive. Maybe he needs to take more chances and start blitzing more, sending more than four guys. He's been very happy with pass rush they get from four guys, and you can't blame them, but maybe they need to start playing more man coverage and just, you know, rely on the guys, the Alexanders, the Kings, those guys, Tremont, to play man coverage behind those blitzes. And it seems to me like he's rushed four pretty much all year. Sometimes it's a safety, you know, but he usually drops somebody out. They don't have a lot of big blitzes. Just talking about this week, so with Haskins, I would be okay if I'm Pettine. I would be okay with him completing 25 or 37 passes for 199 yards. You know, stop the run, make him throw it, and make him work his way all the way down the field. Do not give him anything, big plays that will energize the offense. Make them take all kinds of short stuff and anticipate that at some point he's going to give you a chance to, he's going to make a mistake and give you a chance to pick a ball off. So make him work down the field. Don't give him long stuff. If you're going to give up stuff underneath, great. You know, rally up, tackle, and then make sure you're not giving him up, giving 6 yards a carry, you know, on first down.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tom. I mean, you mentioned the man coverage. And look, again, I think the coaches and players can talk about 1 week at a time. We can talk about looking ahead. And I do look at that NFC playoff picture. And look, the Packers are the number 28 defense in football. Mm-hmm. By the numbers, they're one of the worst. And they're 14th in points allowed, so they're about average, you know, which is that good red zone defense, if you will. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see if that is the solution down the line, is to give Kevin King and Jair Alexander and Tremont Williams or Savage those man duties to get after the quarterback a little bit. Because and why not, I don't know, why not see a little bit of it this week when it's not Michael Thomas, right, or DK Metcalf or Emmanuel Sanders, right? You know, it's I don't know. I am curious to see how Mike Pettine kind of attacks this back quarter, you know, this home stretch of the season.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to, like I said, you don't want to give up big plays, but sometimes you got to play a little aggressively. You know, I'm not as down on them giving up a big play in man coverage if a guy gets beat. If Jair Alexander gets beat in man coverage deep, he got beat. You know, that's physically he got beat. But the stuff where guys are just running free, where George Kittle is running down the field uncovered, you know, or the guy from Latimer, Cody Latimer, is running a post and Tremont Williams has his outside leverage like he's supposed to, in the middle of the field there's this huge gaping hole where there's supposed to be somebody. So what are you getting out of playing some of those zones and things where your guys don't really know how to play it?
Right.
Then maybe you need to risk getting beat deep in man-to-man coverage. I don't know.
So the you know, we've talked about it every week, which is the third phase, and on special teams, and while it has yet to bite them in any terrible way, doesn't mean they're not trying to fix it. So Trey Smith, cut.
Let go.
Yeah, they said, okay, enough of you. They claimed Tyler Irvin, who most recently played 6 games for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 4th-round pick of the Houston Texans, spent 3 years there. He's a kick returner, not a Pro Bowler, doesn't have a touchdown, doesn't have any 90-yarders on his resume, but clearly Brian Gutekunst is like, this is something's got to change. And usually Matt LaFleur likes to play the, oh, well, we'll see. And he was like, nope, that's the guy. He's returning kicks on Sunday against Washington.
I almost think that this is something they should have been doing every week, looking at different guys until they found a guy who broke something, and then stick with them. You know, the guys that they're messing around with are not elite players. So find a guy who fits your system or is hot or something that gives your special teams a little bit of a boost. And they've been waiting for Tremont Smith, waiting. It's not all his fault. But then he did get a chance to return some kicks in against the Giants, and wasn't that impressive. You know, I thought there were a couple opportunities there. They finally had a few opportunities to do something, and they really didn't. So it's probably one of those positions that should have been rotating over and over again. Interesting that Trevor Davis got released by Oakland on Monday, after he fumbled a punt return and I guess screwed up an end around. Who knows if the Packers put a claim in, but Miami got him, and they had one of the top they were high up on the waiver list. So he'll be returning punts and kicks for Miami. So it'll be Tyler Irvin on Sunday. And, you know, if he's fumbles or if he proves to be not very good, then they should be looking for a guy the following week.
Yeah, what's of note is Darius Shepherd, while he had returned punts in college, obviously had never done it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Trey Smith had returned punts in college, but had never done it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So Tyler Irvin, at the very least, Tom, has returned punts in the NFL, and he admitted to me the other day, he's like, I haven't played in weather this cold, mm-hmm. but he did at least safely field punts. He didn't return any against New England in a divisional round playoff game when Houston went there 3-4 years ago. So this kind of new, but at least Brian Gutekunst has found a guy who's done it.
Yeah, and he's not an undrafted guy who hasn't played big-time football before. I mean, he's been in some games, and that part, you know, you have to like if you're the Packers, that he's been in the NFL, like you said, and he's played in some games. He's played in some games in college that are big. So I think it's worth the chance. But, again, don't get stuck on a guy for 6 weeks. If he can't do it after 2 weeks, then head on to somebody else.
Right. On one hand, you figure it can't be worse with -8 punt return yards or whatever it is.
Well, they did get better. They got 3 yards off. They're now at – they went from -8 to the negative – I mean, -11 to -8.
Yeah.
So, progress.
Jeez. That's unbelievable. Progress. What a weird thing. J.K. Scott, go figure. Kind of figured some things out in the snow.
Yeah.
And the wind. So, that has to be encouraging. Again, we're talking about December football here. And he's got 2 games at Lambeau. And, you know, it's Tariq Cohen and Cordarrelle Patterson in 2 weeks. So I think
indoors,
and then indoors at the end of the year. So I think that's got to be a good sign for J.K. Scott to have at least found something in the conditions in New York.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was important for his confidence, especially the first one, which was a really good punt. Second one was not great. Third one was great. So at least he brings that with him. It'll be another. Yeah, for these next 2 weeks, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge because of the weather. So he got a good start last week.
You know, would it be remiss to not send our sympathies out to the Crosby family? Mason Crosby, his sister-in-law passed away the day after Thanksgiving in Texas. He went home, flies to New York, makes a kick beyond the markers that Sean Menenga and Crosby himself sort of mentioned, did it in that weather, goes home, spends some time there, and he comes back Wednesday, Tom. And the reason I bring him up here, you know, there are only a handful of guys in this locker room who have been in playoff games, let alone were on that Super Bowl team. And he's having one of his best seasons. Mm-hmm. And again, another guy who seems primed and with all this stuff going on, kicking very well. And, you know, look, if Matt LaFleur's gone for it on fourth down a couple times these last few weeks where maybe he could have kicked it, but it feels like for all the issues that the other groups on special teams have had, it feels like Crosby's a guy that is ready for this kind of playoff push.
Absolutely. What is he, 14 of 15, I think, this year? He's having a great year. He's kicking off pretty well. I think Matt LaFleur needs to stop going for it on fourth and one and start kicking field goals and go for the sure thing, because they stink on fourth and one, and they're even worse on first and goal, you know, at the goal line. And I'll actually be writing about that this weekend, so be sure you take a look at that on Sunday, but they stink. So if I'm him, if it's fourth and 1.5 inches, unless it's less than 1 inch, then kick the field goal. That would be my advice to him.
Put it this way, I still wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers doing any quarterback sneaks at this point. I think take the points and keep 12's head out of that massive
humanity. Yeah, you don't want to do that. In fact, it was a Washington game, I still think he suffered a concussion in that game. He didn't come out, and this was before all the big protocols, but it was in 2010, and it was on a sneak. And then I think, didn't that happen? Was that how he got hurt last year? How did he get hurt? He had a concussion last year.
Yeah, it was against Detroit. It was sort of an off-schedule play. He was hit.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I just don't think you want him going head first right into the line.
No. So take the points, Matt LaFleur, especially when you can, hey, as he says, it's about winning that game. And who knows, maybe Sunday Mason Crosby needs to kick a few field goals early. Yep. But so we'll see. Tom mentioned he teased his column coming up at jsonline.com and packersnews.com this weekend. Make sure you subscribe and then download the apps. Make sure you turn on the notifications because you want to make sure you get all of our content. And whether it's from Tom, myself, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood, and obviously the very talented Olivia Reiner with her videos and production. We will see. You know, another big one for the Packers. I don't think they can clinch anything this weekend, but in order to get to that point, maybe against the Bears potentially, they have to win. Mm-hmm. And they have been pretty good at beating the teams they should at this point. So. It's December football, Tom.
All right.
It's been a few years since it's mattered here.
Yeah, it has.
So be sure to stay with us as we track and cover the Packers as they hope to make the playoffs for the first time in 3 years. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will catch you post-game on Sunday.